parts of the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament here. I'm going to be reading a little bit later on from Matthew 25, but I'm going to start out with Isaiah 46 before that. So if you can find Matthew 25, kind of hold your place there, and I'll be in Isaiah 46 in a while. I'm on this series here, the last message for this, before I take off the day after next Sunday. So I'll be going on a Monday here. I'm going to give a standalone message here coming Sunday next morning, next Sunday morning as well. But this last message here on honoring the presence of God, I really just heard God's confirmation this entire week here about how He wants us to understand that it's not as small as we think as far as small beginnings are concerned. I really believe the Holy Spirit's speaking to us about some things that perhaps began small or may seem small in our lives today. But because of God's presence, who sometimes will birth small things in us and through us and around us, wherever God's presence is at, it may seem small to us, but God takes little things and makes them become much by His Spirit. So I'm praising God. The youth are here today. Welcome them today as well. There'll be something that they can receive, I know, from this, as well as all the adults that are here. And we want to say thank you for being here this Labor Day weekend, third day off tomorrow. May God give you rest and blessings and grace on this Monday coming up as well. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10 is on the screen, I believe, here. And it says, "For who has despised the day of small things?" God wants us to not be despising the small things that takes place in our lives, whenever, especially God is in those small things. When something comes to an end in our lives, if we'll let Jesus Christ be in our endings, you're going to find out that also He'll be there in our beginnings. Revelation says that Jesus Christ is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. So if God is in our beginnings, or God is in our endings, He'll also be in our new beginnings after those endings take place in our lives. The new beginning shall be, or may seem to be small, but it's not as small as you think. When God is in those endings and God's in those beginnings, those small beginnings are going to become much when they're in the hand of God. Amen? There are things that are going to end in our lives. You got to realize that. We all know that. Now, one thing that ends in a kind of tragic way for some folks is sometimes our spouses. One of us are going to lose our spouse before the other. Some of us are going to lose our wife first or lose our husband first. We'll be here remaining behind that. We've all seen that take place. Sometimes it takes place in our 50s, our 40s, unfortunately, even our 30s. But by God's goodness and grace, I pray in our lives it'll take place in our 90s or early 100s. Amen? That's what I'm praying for Cheryl and myself as well. I think about two men that I respected very much. I've seen them have great, long, decades-long marriages. One's name is Elston Page in Wichita, Kansas. He is my sister's ex-father-in-law. And this man, his wife died of a severe heart problems about, I'm guessing, over 10 years ago now. But they lived a very, very strong, solid, healthy, married life for, I think, about 50 years before she passed away, at least 40-some years. When she passed away, he did not let those endings cause him to have bitterness or anger towards God for new beginnings. And God brought new beginnings in his life as time went by. I also think about a person named Dale Witt, who spoke here several times before he died a couple of years ago. His own wife named Sherry also died before he did. They also were married over 35, 40 years. They had a great marriage there. They loved each other very much. And when she finally passed away, he did not again shake his fist in God's face, blame God for that, get mad at God for that. He rejoiced in the good years they had together. He made sure that God was in the ending, so God brought to Dale Witt and God brought to Elston Page even new beginnings. And I'm saying again, I don't want in my life to ever have something take place of a tragic realm where I find myself ending my life angry and bitter and an old wizened man who has a real hatred towards life around me. I want to always have God's joy in my life and your life as well. Amen? So whenever endings take place, they're not the end of your life. They're actually an open door, open gate to new beginnings. When God's in your endings, God will also be in your new beginnings in your life. When we think about King David's life, he killed Goliath for the highlight of his own life. The biggest thing we think about his own life was the killing of Goliath. We got to realize, though, that before he killed Goliath, small things took place in him. By learning how to take and sling a stone so accurately, he actually killed a lion and he killed a bear even before Goliath. God made sure that David got trained in small things with a small amount of sheep before he finally faced the big thing and brought forth victory in his life and through his life for the nation of Israel and for the world. We cannot despise small things. We cannot despise small beginnings. Also, I know that God taught David back there in the as being a shepherd boy how to praise him and worship him in spirit and in truth. The praise life that David developed in his own private life in the pastures of Israel with a few sheep there carried him through to surviving the attacks of King Saul, who tried to pin him to the wall and kill him time and time again. Praise and worship served David to the day he died upon the face of this earth here. God takes small things and God brings big things through them when they're in the hands of Almighty God. Not everything, of course, first of all, I'm going to say this. Everything has or has God in it as far as beginnings are concerned. Some things begin there, and it's not really Jesus causing those beginnings. For example, Cheryl, about 15 years ago, perhaps at this point, she actually began to birth a maid service, tried to start a maid business in our own neighborhood, in our areas there of Round Rock. It got breathed on for about 1 month and about 2 months, and all the workers quit, resigned, gave up, and she found herself cleaning the houses herself. That wasn't her design, was not her plan, and the whole thing was put to rest. When I first moved here to Austin, Texas, back to 1994, I said, I got to take care of the needs of my family. So somehow in a magazine, I saw an ad there about how you could take and get a jigsaw and cut out wooden figures of dolls and animals and paint them and carve them and scrape them and sand them and then mail them off and receive a check back for about $10-$15 per character. Well, I'm not really a great woodworker, great handyman, and Cheryl says amen. And so I found myself getting these little blocks of wood there from Hobby Lobby and buying a jigsaw on sale, thought God was in that, and then brought that thing in the house there, was cutting out these dolls and angels trying to paint them, and I mailed one off, and they sent back a reject letter and said, you did not do this right and that right and that right there. I'm trying to earn $10 to $15 for about 3 hours of work. I thought there must be a better way to make money than cutting out wooden angels and cutting out blocks of wood and trying to paint them to be just perfect. I realized as time went by, the whole thing's a big scam. They were trying to sell the patterns and sell the advertising thing, not really at all trying to even get these angels coming back to them. The whole thing's a scam, so be aware of that kind of junk. What I'm trying to say is here, not all beginnings have got God in them. Some beginnings we have are our idea, our strength, our might, and our power, and our wisdom. But many beginnings you have are God. God is in those beginnings, and God wants to bring forth much from little in those beginnings. Let's read now Isaiah chapter 46. Let's read verses 9 and 10. It says, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all of my good pleasure. He declares the ending from the beginning. God's got endings. God has got beginnings. Most of us have seen the plans that are made to build houses. I used to work on a construction site in Leander for a thing called farmers' home houses were being built back there. And in the farmer home housing project there, they gave us plans, of course, they're about 10, 15 pages long. They showed the beginnings of foundations, the beginnings of laying the realm there for the cement being poured, rebar being there, and so forth and so on. And of course, the very ending shows the topsoil being placed, the landscaping going on there, and it shows all the details in between that. The beginning from the ending is there in the plans. Well, it tells us in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, it says, I know the plans, plural, I have for you. Didn't say, I know the plan I have for you. It said, I know the plans, plural, I have for you. Well, what God is saying here is, one thing all plans have in common, they have beginnings and they have endings, but also God is saying, there's going to be beginnings and endings that are multiple in your lives. You may live to be 70, 80, 90 years old. There'll be some endings, there'll be beginnings take place year by year, decade by decade, as God unfolds our lives like an onion peel, as only he can do. So understand that. There's plans God has for us. They've got beginnings and they've got endings. So I'm saying today, let's let God be in our endings so that God can also be in our beginnings in a good and strong way. Amen? It's always important to leave things right, to leave things in a right spirit, to acknowledge God is in the endings of this thing, that God may also be there peacefully, anointedly, and powerfully in the new beginnings that takes place after the endings happen in our lives. God's beginnings are small. He began also with a seed, of course, to make all living things that exist on the face of the earth. Some of you that are here today are married, and I want to say kind of a real thing about marriage. I want to kind of get kind of real right now about this. The fact is, all us married folks have been married now for 35 or 45 years, beyond that, 25 years, all realize the real thing is honeymoons only last for a season. Isn't that right? Honeymoons are there for every married couple for months, days, weeks, hopefully years, but there will be a shift take place where the honeymoon will come to an end. And all of a sudden, some things you didn't thought were cute are not so cute no more in the marriage relationship. Amen? Things you just loved about that woman or man there, all of a sudden they're starting to drive you crazy. But God has not ordained to have the honeymoon period followed by 40 years of frustration, aggravation, and attempted murder. Is that true? God wants us to have endings to the honeymoon period there, to only introduce beginnings for something better and more stable and consistent down the road. Amen? I believe that that's possible. I believe we can have 40 years not of tolerance, but 40 years of being glad of being together in Jesus' name. When Cheryl hops on the airplane today, I'm not going to see her again for at least 9 days. I'm going to follow her to South Africa 9 days later. When she gets off the on the airplane, I get back to my house. She's not going to find me behind closed doors clapping and cheering and saying, yay, praise God, I got some freedom here right now, whatever, you know, so forth, so on. I'm not going to be doing that. You can send somebody as a witness and watch that. If you want to watch that, you can do it. But I'm not going to be happy to see my wife leaving for 9 days, and I'll be batching it there, barely getting by, trying to find some food somewhere, try to get the clothes washed somehow, try to take care of the dog and that bird some way, somehow. I'm going to miss my Cheryl Merrill. Amen. But 9 days will go by, and I'll see her again. We'll have a happy, happy reunion once again there. Amen. Been married 35 years. That's right, 35 years. 81 plus 35 is 16, yes. 35 years. One thing that does happen is you have 35 years of marriage is short-term memory loss, a little bit. But I don't confess that. Amen. Been 35 good years here, and I say, if you guys as well, when the honeymoon comes to an end, we got to go beyond that shift there and believe that ending brings a better beginning and not just tolerance. Amen. In Jesus' name. So Job chapter 8, verse 7, God promises Job, though your beginning was small, yet your latter end will increase abundantly. And we all realize that Job had a great blessing in the beginning. So he had great crops and herds, and he had great servants there and land and houses and so forth. But God said, that's like a small beginning compared to what I want to give you in your ending in your life. The good news from God is this. The path of righteousness is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. But that sun shines brighter by sometimes some sunsets happening, and a new sun comes up then over the horizon there, and God does bring new beginnings to his people, okay? So I want you to write down, if you would, 3 take-home points this morning about how small things, small beginnings are in God's hand. When they're in God's hand, God brings blessing from that. The first thing I want to say is small beginnings are seen in the parable of the talents. Now, the parable of talents is found in Matthew 25. So turn to Matthew 25, please. And the talents here is not about giftings or talents like gymnastics or basketball. These talents talks about a measure of money. Now, theologians say that this word talent is kind of obscure, where you can't really figure out the exact dollar figure a talent was actually worth in this era. They said it could have been $1,000, or it could have been up to even $1 million. But the fact is, it was a great big large sum of money, one talent was, when it was in gold especially, like being talked about right here in this parable. So Matthew 25, verse 14 through 18 says this. The kingdom of God, is Christ speaking here, kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to one 2 talents, and to another one 1 talent, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. Likewise, he who had received 2 talents gained 2 more. And he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. Then it goes on in verse, I think it's 19, says, after a long time, the Lord, the servants, came back to settle accounts and see what these three men had done with the large amount of money he had sown into their lives. Let's read now verse 20 and 21. So he who had received five talents came and brought five other talents with it. And he said, Lord, you delivered to me five talents. Look, I've gained five more talents besides them. His Lord said back to him, notice this, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful in a few small things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. The same thing is talked about the guy that had two talents. He says the same exact words right back to him that was spoken right here in verses 20 and 21. Then verse 24 and 25, the guy with the one talent, he says this. Then he who had received the one talent came, and he said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed, and I was afraid. And I went and hid your talent, notice this, in the soil, in the clay, in the ground. Look, there you have what now is yours. In the time of small beginnings, there'll be a great tendency to give in to fear. Because we're going to see around us not what we think we need for our future. We're going to find ourselves being tempted there to hold back or curse those small beginnings. Now, the Bible says fear can be cast down. Who knows what will cast down fear according to God's word? Who knows that? Perfect love casts down fear. We want all folks at Tree of Life Church to be experiencing the perfect love of God so that fear might be cast out of your life, because that fear, the Bible says here, produces you hiding in your flesh, in your clay, in your bodies, in your ground, that which is your destiny for your lives, never reproducing what God has placed as a treasure in your lives. Can you see that? If we see things are small around us and small in us, fear will keep us in a paralyzed state, not taking risks in Jesus' name to sow that talent into what God wants it sown into, that it might bring forth multiplied blessings down the road as well. You know, Cheryl and I had small beginnings. We found ourselves in Shoreline Christian Center in 1994, going there, and as 9 years went by, as 4 years went by, being there the fourth year, they made us missions pastors of that church. We had favor in our lives there. I found myself speaking there in front of the congregation on Wednesday nights before Thanksgiving every year, and found myself on trips with Rob Cote, going overseas and doing leadership conferences and so forth with him off and on. And so finally this church called the Family, First Family Church, when we first came here, it was actually had shrunk down to 25 people on a Sunday morning. We came here 13 years ago with very, very small beginnings. Now, if I let fear grip my life, moving from what I was doing in Shoreline to coming over here with small amounts of people in our church here, what I could have done is got on the telephone trying to call every Shoreline friend we had and saying, hey, Cheryl and I are going to take a church over in Pflugerville. Why don't you come over here and check us out? That would be unethical, that would be dishonest, and that would be just downright evil. Amen? We didn't do that whatsoever. We didn't call anybody anywhere we knew about in Shoreline Christian Center there. We didn't get the word out to any of those guys. We're going to be over here at Pflugerville. And God, by his own grace, by his own favor, brought increase to us little by little by little. And we're still moving on here today, 13 years later on. The good news to me was, I went and met with Pastor Rob about I think 2 years beyond pastoring this church here. And I told him face to face, I want to assure you, we have not asked one person to leave your church and come over here to Tree of Life Church. And he said back to me, you know what? I already know that, because if you had done that, the word would have got back to me by now. And it's probably the truth here, because word gets through the grapevine real fast nowadays. Amen? And so I'm saying to you again, when small beginnings take place, whatever it may be there, don't let your ground, your carnal flesh, bury that talent and say, I'm going to flesh this thing out and try to bring forth big things out of small things in my flesh and in my power and in my might. If God brings you new beginnings that are small, which they always will be, God will breathe on the small beginnings and he'll make sure it grows and increases according to his spirit and his goodness and his will. Amen? Can you believe that? That's a faith move, okay? So, what is one of the main keys to our children embracing and experiencing the perfect love of God? How do we get our youth and our children to experience at Tree of Life Church the perfect love of God so that fear won't cause our youth and our children to make some bad decisions by things they see around us? How do we do that? Primary way is they need to see the perfect love of God in their mother and their father. Our youth and our children need to see the perfect love of God in their house and in their parents. And that will, I believe, show them that God is a good God, God is a loving God, and I'm going to serve this God beyond peer pressure, beyond all the influence of evil around me. I'm going to say no to evil and say yes to God, because I've seen the perfect love of God in my parents. Amen? I want to say, I want to encourage you parents here, release that, expose that, mirror that in your households. That will be a primary weapon to show your children the perfect love of God in their lives, that they may embrace that themselves in Jesus' name and live in that. Amen? Do you believe that? A few folks do. I'm telling you right now, if your parents won't do that, you're gonna suffer consequences. I'm saying let the perfect love of God be in you. They'll see that. It'll be in them in Jesus' name. Do my own kids say amen? Two of them do. All right, praise God. Yes, all three are here, so you guys better agree with that. All right, moving on here. Notice here at the end of verse 21 and 23, what does it say? He says, you two men, enter into the joy of the Lord. Enter into the joy of the Lord. What he's saying here is, whenever I take the talents I place inside of you, my spiritual investment inside of you, and it multiplies, that will release the joy of the Lord in your strength. And I want to say, no devil, no calamity, no antichrist, no bad thing can actually conquer the joy of the Lord in your life. Amen? I've heard of stories of folks in concentration camps, folks that are facing martyrdom, folks that are facing tremendous warfare overseas. When the joy of the Lord is their strength, they can conquer a mountain. They can come against a troop. They can have giants in their face, and they do not back down. They do not cower, because the joy of the Lord is their strength. And God and Christ himself, this parable says, when these guys let that talent multiply in them and through them, it said the joy of the Lord was entered into their lives. That joy keeps us in consistent victory in Jesus' name. So number two is this. Write down Psalm 16, verse 11. Psalm 16, 11 says, in your presence is fullness of joy. So in small beginnings, embrace God's presence, and in his presence will be a fullness of joy. So number two is this, the time of small beginnings includes risk. It includes risk. The man who hid his talent didn't want to risk any of it because it didn't seem to him it was very much to begin with. He said, a little bit I've got, I want to hang on to that, like that widow had that little bit of oil, little bit of flour there, I want to hang on to it, doesn't seem like very much. God is saying to you and I today as well, your little in God's hand can become much, but only by faith. You got to start seeing your little the way God sees that little thing, what a little thing may be there, because God takes little and makes it become much by his power and by his grace. He had a problem when he compared how much the other two had to what he had. They had a better education, better family, better neighborhood, better parents, more financing and so forth. So they compare themselves, he did, with a guy with two talents and five talents. I've only got one talent. I'm going to hide and protect and preserve my small thing. Not as much as they've got. Whatever you've got, when God gets that in his hands, God can multiply that and use that for his glory. Amen? It's not as small as you think. Let's read now Matthew 25, verses 26 to 28. This is called the Message translation. Very, very good translation also. Puts things in modern day English. Matthew 25, 26 to 28 says this. The least you could have done, says the master to the guy with one talent, was to invest it with the bankers, for at least I would have received a little bit of interest. Take the thousand, the one talent, and give it to the one who risked the most, and get rid of the play it safe man who will not go out on a limb. Get rid of the play-it-safe man who will not go out on the limb. If you're going to serve Jesus Christ, you've got to be willing to go out on a limb. You may not see the future there. It's hard to do it because you don't always see what's going to be the outcome of that. And so because you don't see the outcome, the final outcome, we tend to hold back. We tend to clench our fist and say, I cannot take and let this thing be sown out. It just seems so small to me. Jesus said that being faithful over the little is equivalent to going out on a limb. Understand that. So last of all, number three is this. It's a challenge to be faithful over little. It's a challenge to be faithful over little. How would you guys treat a $200,000 Lamborghini Countach if I gave it to you tomorrow? I'm not going to do that. But how would you treat that? You would wax it, polish it, wash it on a regular basis. You would garage it, make room in your garage for it. We bring all the junk out of your garage, make room for your Lamborghini, amen. You'd park it very far out, HEB parking lots, way out there, no door dings, no grackle mess, amen. No sunshine, there'd be shades in the windscreen. You'd clean out the interior. The oil would be changed on a regular basis. Is that right? That's how you'd treat a $200,000 Lamborghini Countach. How do you treat a 1985 Honda Accord? You see, it's very, very easy to be faithful over much, but not easy being faithful over the little. But God watches us in the little before he gives us the much down the road. Amen? So I'm going to move on about this point here as well. It's easy to be faithful over much. What's hard is being faithful over little. But it's what you learn in being faithful over the little that will help you to be enabled to be ruler over much in due time. It's what you learn in the time of being faithful over the little that enables you to be faithful over much down the road and in due time. Do you see that? There are times we can see God at work in something and how he's fitting the pieces all together. We can see God doing that in the beginnings, but sometimes you cannot see that. For example, back in 1985, we went to find ourselves living in South Africa for 4 to 5 years. We moved back here in 1990 to Rockwall, Texas. God had told us in very, very strong prophetic terms and even spiritual terms, it was time to let the Zulus over there run their own churches, get ourselves out of their way, move back to America, and God would open up to us a pastoring type ministry as time goes by. That's all God showed us. That's all God told us. I had no idea how God would put the pieces together. We found ourselves in Rockwall about 2 months. The Bible tells me very plainly, if a man won't take care of the needs of his own family, he's worse than an infidel. So when 2 months go by, and my supporters all begin to cut off their support to us, I get the newspaper out in Dallas and try to find the job section there, and I see they're hiring Pizza Hut drivers to deliver pizzas in Rockwall, Texas. I'm going to get on the phone that day, make phone calls, and try to get a job to feed my family. Amen. Well, that day, we actually had lined up a lunch with a man birthing a church in Fort Worth, Texas, named Jeff Wickwire, Church on the Rock Church there. And so he says, yeah, I'll join you for lunch. You can pick my brain about pastoring churches or planting churches, whatever. In that place called El Chico's, about the only restaurant then in Rockwall, Texas, we're sitting down with Jeff Wickwire, Cheryl and myself are having lunch with him. And Jeff Wickwire hears a man laughing loudly across the restaurant. He says, that's Larry Lee's laugh. Larry Lee at that time was as big as Joyce Meyer is today in our nation. He was there with about 10, 15 men having a lunch. He very rarely came back to Rockwall. He was traveling all over the world and nation with a prayer ministry. But he happened to be there that day, that time, in that restaurant, laughing very loud. Jeff Wickwire says hi to him, talks to him. And at the end of the lunch, he says, why don't you and Cheryl go say hi to Larry Lee as well? Oh, we don't want to bug him. He's very busy. He's got a lot of guys and so forth and so on. No, go say hi to him. So we said hi to him. Larry Lee says, what are you doing, Mike? I said, I just came back from South Africa. We're going to work at Pizza Hut maybe as a driver. I'm trying to find a job right now. And God brought us back here to pastor a church in due time. He goes, go to my office over there across the interstate. Talk to my administrator. I'm going to give you a job as one of my prayer partners in my ministry. And so I go across the road there. I talk to the guy named Randy Bailey. He puts me on with them as a prayer partner. And I find myself in front of crowds of 10,000 people at the Rosemont Horizon in Chicago about a month later, throwing out Larry Lee albums and tapes and CDs here. And and praying to the west, in Jesus' name, I bind you, devil, in Jesus' name. Better than delivering pizza, Pizza Hut, amen? Better than that. What I'm saying here is God took all that and brought all these things together, and through all that, I can't go into all the details beyond that, but I found myself becoming an ambassador for Global Advance because David Shibley was Larry Lee's missions pastor years ago. The favor of God upon us for him carried on to become an ambassador for him. That's why I'm going out to Lusaka, Zambia in a couple of weeks here to do a leadership conference through Global Advance's ministry. And I also found myself ministering with Dale Witt as time goes by. We also found ourselves being missions pastors at Shoreline Christian Center for 5 years, years ago. All these things took place by God saying, if you'll bless your beginnings or your endings, leaving one place, I will bless your beginnings. Though they be small, I'll make them become large in due time. I have found that God is faithful and God is able to bless our small beginnings when he blesses our endings by his Spirit. Amen? So bringing this right down to earth now today, what about our youth here at Tree of Life Church? I was raised in a church called Faith Chapel in Kansas. Our youth blossomed in its peak when I was there for about 9 years, age 11 to age 20. We had 30 to 40 youth in our peak, 30 or 40 youth. In our leaner times, we had 6 or 7 youth. Looking back on that, I can say right now, not one of those youth married each other in that youth group. Not one of them. 30 or 40 at one time, 6 or 7 in lean times, not any of them, peak or valleys, ever married each other. Daniel Satterfield didn't, Lonnie Satterfield didn't, my sister didn't, my stepsister didn't, her sister didn't, my stepbrother didn't. I can go down the list here, I can talk about Brett Drachenberg, I can talk about Marty Foster. None of those guys married each other in that youth group. Yet all of them got married in due time. What about Tree of Life Church? This youth group here may only have 6, 7, 20, 30, 40 people here. What I've seen in my past was, though they did not find their own spouse in the small beginnings, they did all get married to the right person down the road. Okay, so what I'm saying to you guys is, don't despise even small things in smaller churches, smaller compared to mega churches like Celebration or Shoreline. God has ways of bringing things together by the power of his Spirit and bringing blessings to you. I didn't marry a person in my youth group. I married Cheryl from South Africa, 10,000 miles away. I'm saying God has ways of bringing people together, so don't panic youth, don't panic children, don't panic adults here. God can bring blessings to people's lives in his own timing, in his own way. Amen? The main thing is honor God's presence in the time of small beginnings. Don't curse your smallness. Don't curse your what you think are limited options. Bless every day you live, knowing God has your best interests in mind. In Jesus' name. Can you believe that? Moving on. When Larry Lee tapped us to get involved in his ministry, and David Shibley tapped us to get involved as ambassadors for his own ministry, Global Advance, when Robert Koch tapped us as missions pastor for Shoreline Christian Center, I did not begin preparing for those ministries the day they tapped me on the shoulder. I began in the obscure panhandle of Oklahoma in a place called Laverne, doing a counseling session for some youth in a youth camp in the middle of nowhere. I did puppets at our church for vacation Bible school. I did Sunday school lessons. We began traveling there and we did 300 rock seminars. And every seminar we did there was because people invited us to come. We found ourselves in small little bitty churches in the middle of nowhere in Louisiana and so forth. We found ourselves in great big giant auditoriums sometimes. But God is showing you and showing me today, don't despise the days of small beginnings. Be faithful in what God puts in your hand to do. He will give you much in due time. Amen? And I'm saying don't get prepared the day the giant shows up. David got prepared a long time before Goliath ever came on the scene. He learned how to throw rocks as a young little boy, warding off lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. And when Goliath shows up, he said, that guy is so big, I can't miss him. Put one right in the middle of his forehead, blew him up, knocked him down. That day, actually, David was a giant. Goliath was a little midget that day, amen? Because he was already dead meat when he saw this guy with the presence of God upon him. God put a rock right in his forehead and took him down with God's help. So, let's don't disregard the day and the beginnings of small things. Let's choose to bless the small things around us. Keep a right attitude, a right heart, a right spirit, realizing little becomes much when placed in the hand of the Father, in Jesus' name. But James comes back to help me out on the platform here. I want to close and say this. Ruler over much, in this Greek language, New Testament language here, it actually means I will make you to become somebody. Rule over much, I will make you to become somebody. The biggest cry our youth have today, our kids have today, I want to be famous, and I want to be on a platform, and I want to be seen. Jesus says, you be faithful over little, I will give you much in due time. I'll make you to become somebody by my grace, by my power, and by my spirit. As James plays here, I want to read this one last verse and then pray. Luke chapter 16, verse 12 says, if you have been faithful in that which is another's, another man's, God will give you much. But if you've not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? God will always test us in another man's field. If you want to be a great musician, great singer, you want to be a great whatever in life, get behind somebody else already doing what you want to do yourself one day and serve them with your gifting. Be faithful in their house, and God will give you your own house in due time. Amen. So many folks want to go right to the top, real fast, real quick, no price being paid whatsoever. And God is saying, be faithful in another man's house, and God will give you your own house in due time. And when God gives you your own house, he'll still say, be faithful in somebody else's house while you have your own house. Amen? When God gives you your own house, be faithful in another man's house at the same time that you do that. Well, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning to pray. We're here to pray about small things, little things, because the Spirit of God spoke to me through prayer on Thursday night at our intercessory prayer meeting, in my own quiet time as well. There's people in this sanctuary today that'll be here, that are here right now, that you're facing some small things. You say, well, my family's not famous. We don't have enough money or finances. I'm not popular enough at school. I don't have the favor at my workplace I need to have to get promotions and become what I want to become. I don't have the education. I don't have this. I don't have that. I see small things around me all the time, every day. And God is saying to you right now, let those small things be placed in my hand, says God. Because your beginnings may be small, they will not remain small. Because I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, the author and the finisher of your faith. And the one who began a good work in you shall complete that work until Jesus Christ comes back. I want to remind you guys again, when your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, that Jeremiah says, I know the plans, plural, I have for you. That means in your lifetime there will be endings, but there will be beginnings. And there will be endings, and there will be beginnings. And there will be endings, and there will be beginnings. And you that are facing right now beginnings, you're seeing small things. I want to say to you this day, God knows and God sees your small things right now. But can you take your life and take your heart and take your thoughts and say, Lord God, let my thoughts be taken captive this day. But I will no longer curse my small beginnings. I'll no longer curse the small things around me. But I will say, oh God, my life is in your hands. I am called by God's Spirit to be in this place in such a time as this. And I believe you, God, what you've begun in me shall be completed in the name of Jesus Christ. And I thank you and praise you, God, this day that it's so, that it's so. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. One moment longer, please. Who's here today that says this rings true in your life today? You're in a place perhaps of small beginnings. Raise your hand right now. Does anybody like that? So I want to make sure I'm talking to somebody today. A place of small beginnings. Tree of Life Church is right now in a place of small beginnings. There's so many seeds that God has sown in Pflugerville, in Austin, in this church, in this property, that has still not sprung up to become big things. God is saying to all of us, can we be faithful in the small things? Can we bless the small things? Can we have the right attitude in the small things? Can we be those who bring our own life and our own talents and abilities and giftings in the small thing, that God may breathe on the small thing and bring forth the big thing that He has for this place and this people and these individuals that God knows He loves and God's got a plan for? Let's all stand to our feet, please. We do that. Those whose hands were raised up, I want to pray for you in specific right now. I want you to take one more time. Lift that hand to God, if you would, one more time, please. Let's right now commit the small thing. I'm raising my hand right now to God as well. Let's commit the small thing to God right now we have in our hands. And say, Lord, this small thing is yours. And this small thing, I want it, oh God, to see it the way you do, as a seed to be planted. That brings forth, oh God, a brokenness. That brings forth a life. That brings forth a root. That brings forth a stalk. That brings forth a full plant that shall bring forth a fruit, and a fruit that multiplies in the name of Jesus in due time. But, oh God, please, give me patience. Give me perseverance. Give me consistency. Help me, oh God, to not despise the small beginnings. Because what I am today is not what I will be in the days ahead. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All you here that are youth, college age people as well, you don't have all the stuff and things and all the experience that you're going to have in days gone by, but God knows what you do have when it's placed in God's hands. It will become much in Jesus' name. God can turn things around. God will turn things around. God will give you a lunch at El Chico's in Rockwall, Texas, or Billy Graham, or somebody walks in there. I'm saying God can do. God just brings things together as only God can do. The puzzle pieces will come together. But you must honor God's presence. Fear the Lord. Respect God. Love God. And I can say truthfully today, everything that took place good in my life and Cheryl's life was all because we love God, and we love what God loves. And God loves the church, and God loves His people. That's what brought everything in our lives. Every coincidence in our lives, we love God. We love God's what God loves, His church and His people. Amen. One last thing today. Let's pray that those who may be here this morning whose hearts are being going through a time of turmoil in their in marriages, relationships, I'm just going to sense that also today, that you will rekindle a fire that can burn again, husband toward wife, wife toward husband. And we're going to see there come forth something beyond the honeymoon, with deeper roots, better fruits, more maturity, more wisdom, more revelation of how God sees you as a couple in Jesus' name. Let's take a hand of our spouse right now. If your spouse is near to you, let's just take their hand. Let's just pray together right now. Father, I thank you, O God, for my spouse, my wife, my husband. And I choose, O God, to bless my wife, my husband. I say my heart belongs to them as well. I love you, God, but also I love them. And I say, Lord God, rekindle and keep afresh and afire that love I had at first for them, O God, maybe years ago. I say it will not dwindle. It will not die. It will not diminish in the name of Jesus. But I say the fire of God's Spirit shall be in my marriage, my relationships, and I'm going to see my spouse the way that you do, not take them for granted, no longer have anything of animosity towards them. And Father, I even say, forgive me if I've spoken things out in my mind or my heart or my mouth to curse my spouse, to curse my husband, to curse this relationship, to curse my wife. I say, Father, forgive me. Cleanse me, O God. Help me speak words of life. Help me speak words that are truth. Help me line up with heaven concerning my spouse. In the name of Jesus Christ, I give you praise and thanks, O God, this day. Let's seal this whole thing right now with a clap to God and to say, thank you, Father. I praise you, God. You are faithful. You are just. You are true. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Praise God, praise God. You know, sometimes we have expectations of relationships, marriages, our children, that just cannot be met the way we think they should be. But I'm saying if you'll let God be God through you for them, It will water the seed that God's got in their lives. Because all of us are called to greatness. All of us are called to greatness in Jesus' name. I'm not just saying that to exaggerate. I'm saying it's true. Every person that God's Spirit lives in is called to greatness. Amen? But we need the body of Christ to speak life and water that with the washing of the water of the Word, that seed can come to life in Jesus' name. Amen? May God help us to bless our children, bless our wives, our spouse, our employers, our church, our city, our leaders in Jesus' name. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Well, I'm going to go ahead and let Jack again take the microphone. You can dismiss us.